After the sermon, let us sing together Psalm 96, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are used to referring to the parts of the Lord's Prayer after the opening address of our Father in Heaven by the word petitions. Now, a petition is a request. It's interesting that this term petition has become so firmly established, because actually it is not used in the two passages in the New Testament where we have our Lord's direct teaching about prayer. Now, that word petition, meaning request, is not a bad choice for most of the parts of the Lord's Prayer, because we are in that prayer making a number of requests. But that word request or petition is always a bit challenging when you come to the first petition, hallowed be your name. For the word hallowed means basically to treat in a holy way. But really, what are we asking our Heavenly Father with these words? Well, the Catechism is very helpful because it shows us how to work with these words so that they are indeed a request. Because when we analyze the answer, we can say that this is a request to God to illumine us by His Holy Spirit, that we will rightly know Him and sanctify, glorify, and praise Him. But also, the second part, it is a request that He will empower us by the Holy Spirit so that we will live a God-fearing life. But this afternoon, we're going to go in a slightly different direction. Because when we think it through, we realize that the first petition really should not just be limited to a request. It also contains an element of confession. It comes out even when you think about the words now, hallowed be your name. Focus falls on something with respect to God. I highlight that really it's not just a matter of asking, but we could even say there is a strong element of confessing. And confessing is always an important part of our prayer. For we do well to start by our prayer by confessing in such a way that we sanctify, glorify, and praise the name of our Heavenly Father. But now, the words of the actual petition are rather bare. Of course, we know that's in keeping with the outline, the purpose of, or even the setup of the Lord's Prayer. It is more an outline showing us the main categories or things we should pray about. And now we have committed ourselves to working through the prayer taught by our Savior, also time and again making connection with the prayer book of the church, which is the book of Psalms. And this way, our prayers may be enriched, and we will be able to pray God-pleasing prayers. And to that end, I proclaim to you this afternoon, the Psalms help us flesh out the confession element in the petition, hallowed be your name. And that our prayers may be enriched, we will consider psalms that hallow God's name for His almighty power, His wisdom, His goodness, His righteousness, His mercy, and truth. So the psalms help us flesh out the confession element in the petition, hallowed be your name. Now, as we laid out how we're going to approach also this Lord's Day, what is confessed therein, the whole matter of the first petition, you will notice that might sound like a lot of points, but really these are simply words taken from answer 122. And a list like that right away shows us that hallowing God's name, even though those actual words, hallowed be your name, can be said in a fraction of a second, actually that is something that can keep us busy for quite a while. And as it might be too much for one day, considering there are 6 points, the family could decide that on each day of the week and the week that lies before us, they're going to focus on one of these points every day, give due attention to them. And so in addition to the regular Bible reading at the table, it might be good to give an assignment to one of the children, perhaps, and have the children take a turn to find a psalm that touches on one of these points. And in this way, also getting ready for the prayer afterwards to make sure that the prayer will contain a good element of confession. So right away you can see the assignment that is before us for the week to come. In that respect also I indicated, take a pen along so you can fill in perhaps some suggestions after each point. Makes it easier for the children afterwards rather than have to think of it all themselves again. But of course they can do that too, because what is mentioned is not going to be exhaustive. It is simply a sampling of what we find in the Psalms, that we may find words that truly hallow God's name. And so, in the first place then, we think of Psalms that give us words to hallow God's name for His almighty power. And then we can think of Psalms that praise God's name for His power, both shown in the creation and preservation of the universe, as well as His power in the redemption and preservation of His people. Both those aspects are going to show His power. Now, for His power in creation and in the preservation of creation, well, a psalm that should come to mind is Psalm 104. Because when you look at that psalm, it starts off right away by saying that God is indeed very great. And then it goes and gives a description of really His creative power, stretching out the heavens like a tent, setting the earth on its foundations. And then as the psalm continues, well, then it goes really into God's preservation of creation, because He is the one that waters the earth. He is the one that has appointed the sun, the moon, and the stars to rule the day and the night and the seasons. And He is the one that sees to it that the creatures, all the creatures on the earth, are fed week after week, day after day. So there we have a psalm that really highlights that God is almighty in His creation and in His preservation of the universe. And we find further evidences that show that God is the one who controls the seasons, and they are sung about. Psalms like 65 and 145. Think of 145, for example. We confess that God opens His hand and satisfies the desire for food of every living creature. Then we think of Psalm 147, always a beautiful psalm to sing, especially perhaps when we have the first snow of the season or a great ice storm or when the spring comes again, because there it shows that the Lord God is the one who controls all those things, and He is the one who provides His children with an abundance of food. It's important that we hallow God's name for His creation and preservation of the universe, that we think of His provision for us day by day, because so easily we forget that He is the ultimate source of all the good things we receive. Now, we said not only can we speak about God's power in the creation and preservation of the universe, but also in the redemption and preservation of His people. Many psalms, they confess God's power by referring to His might, especially in setting Israel free from that bondage in Egypt. You can think of Psalm 68, one of those robust psalms that sing so confidently and joyfully about how the Lord set His people free, how He led them through the wilderness. Psalm 76, which we sang just before the sermon, also a beautiful psalm, starts off by saying, "In Judah God is known, His name is great in Israel." Because it speaks about the way that He destroyed enemies of His people. See, can you keep on going? Psalm 78, 106. Often these psalms, they contain so much historical retelling of what God has done, the mighty deeds of the Lord as He has set free His people. Or we think of Psalm 48, also a psalm that speaks about the fact how the Lord is the one who defends Zion. And then all kind of armies come up against it, but they stand in amazement because they cannot defeat God's people. They cannot defeat the church that keeps on existing despite centuries of efforts to eliminate it. Other psalms, 107, 126, all speak about the powerful restoration of God's people even after they have sinned against Him, but the Lord brings all His children together again. So all these things are about God's almighty power. And then we move on to praising and glorifying God for His wisdom. And you see, often, you know, a psalm can do double duty, so we're going to have some overlap. You say, well, we mentioned that one already. Yes, that's okay, but psalms contain different elements. So we think of Psalm 104, which we mentioned for the creation and preservation of the universe. Then verse 24, it says in that psalm, O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom have you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. And when you hear that, then you think of the marvel of creation, all the beautiful interconnectedness of all the creatures of an environment. We think of all the complexity in all different creatures, even in our own human body, how complex a creation that is. And then we have reason to hallow God's name. You can even see how a Christian who is fascinated by the field of science and wants to study about all the things that you see in this world, whether it be biology or geology or any of the sciences, well, then you see all the more. If you study that as a Christian, the wisdom of God, that He made that all. A Christian scientist will have all the more reason to hallow God's name for the evidence of God's wisdom in creation. But as the wisdom of God is evident in what we then call the natural world, which gives reason for praise, we can also see it in His laws. We think here of Psalm 19, verse 7 and following, how it confesses that the law of God is perfect. It makes the simple wise. God's laws are to be desired because they show the way of joyful, healthy life. When we follow God's law, that is the way of wisdom that will keep us from the path of destruction. And that same testimony to the law of God as being wise, full of good instruction, comes out through Psalm 119. You read that psalm, it is all about the law in one way or the other, and the marvel of that law is sung about, and God is praised for that. And as it praises, speak about Psalm 119, that's also an interesting point, for example, in verse 71, where we have a testimony to the wisdom of God in sending affliction. Well, we might not think of it that way. Wisdom of God in sending affliction, but the psalmist says, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. You see, God deals with us, and as a wise father, He guides us in the way. All these are reasons to praise Him, to hallow His name. We move on to psalms that praise and glorify God for His goodness. Now, when we speak of His goodness, then we can think especially of His generous provision for all our bodily needs. Now, this is somewhat of an overlap with psalms that will speak about the praise of God's name for His creation and preservation of the universe. But His goodness stands out in that He provides for all His creatures, also those who don't even deserve it, and yet God is so good, He gives abundantly. Think here of what we read also in Psalm 145, verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He has made. It shows you the broad scope of that goodness. You know, as the Apostle Paul later also said, that God, when he preached to the Gentiles, he said that God has continued to provide for all the nations of the earth throughout the centuries, even when they lived in spiritual darkness. He still gave the rains and the sun and the seasons. He gave them abundance of crops. God is good to this day too. He even provides in His goodness for those who hate Him. And they keep on biting the hand that feeds them. And we think of all the people who follow the false religions, they ascribe it to their idols. But it is God in His goodness who provides even for those who follow false religions. All this is reason to see, that we have reason to praise God's name, to hallow His name for His goodness, even to His enemies. And then next, we turn to hallowing God's name for His righteousness. But this is an area that is bound to kind of be missed in our praising of our Father's name, because this is an area that we are prone to get a little bit squeamish and even sentimental. Because when we speak about God's righteousness, We speak of the way that he punishes the wicked and he upholds those who fear him, often also described as the righteous, those who believe in him. And if we truly want to hallow God's name, then we should not skip this. There are many psalms that help us to find the right words to sanctify, glorify, and praise God's name for his righteousness in the way he deals with sin and those who oppose him. We find very fitting words in Psalm 75. We'll finish also with that psalm, but already here we can think about that psalm, which starts off by giving thanks to God. And then it goes on by speaking about the way that he will execute judgment. And in a rather vivid way, that judgment is portrayed as a cup with foaming wine that has to be drunk down to the dregs, right to the bitter end. And it speaks about the punishment that will be poured out on the wicked. But as you sing that song, then also as the song concludes, as it has brought this to the foreground, God is the righteous judge of the earth. Well, the song does not hold back from speaking about these things, but it praises God because he does punish the wicked and he protects those who fear him. This is reason to hallow his name. We also learn further how to do that with the words of Psalm 94. It starts with the call to the Lord as God of vengeance to judge the wicked of the earth. You see, there's no sentimentalism here. No, God, judge the wicked of the earth. And who are the wicked? Well, they are those who crush God's people or who kill the widow and the sojourner, those who are guilty of all kinds of social injustices, not just against God's people, but in general. And then, as that song calls for God to judge and to crush the wicked, it concludes by rejoicing in the Lord as a stronghold who will wipe out the wicked. And then also, we think of Psalm 96, concludes with a call to the trees of the forest to sing for joy. Notice the kind of a personification. The trees are supposed to start singing and clapping their hands. Why? Because God is going to come to judge the earth with righteousness and faithfulness. Another psalm, 98, in the 90s, you find lots of beautiful psalms about that. Also concludes with a joyful note, because God will come to judge the earth with righteousness and his people with equity. So you see, brothers and sisters, if we wish to hallow God's name, we should not ignore his righteousness, because he is the perfectly just God, and he is always justified in his doings. Human judges, they will make their misjudgments, but not our Heavenly Father. And when we pray, hallowed be your name, that should therefore include a confession, hallowed be your name for your righteous judgments that you show already now in history upon all the wicked. Now next in our list, we see mercy. When we think of God's mercy, it makes us think of the way that he forgives sinners. And really, how we have reason to hallow God's name for this, to praise his name. Because it's remarkable, among all the gods that have been invented by man as a substitute for the real God, there is not one who will graciously forgive sins. The gods that man has come up with, they are always people you need to negotiate with, you need to bargain with. You need to appease them by your good deeds, by your offerings, by who knows what. It always has to be earned. But our Heavenly Father, he knows who we are. He knows we could never do that. And in his grace, he comes and graciously gives us the mediator who takes our punishment, our Lord Jesus Christ. And he forgives us our sins through faith in the name of his Son. We know, of course, when the book of Psalms was written, they did not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is a book written in the age of the shadows. But in the age of the shadows, they did foreshadow the Lord Jesus Christ. All the sacrifices of the law, they testified to God being a merciful God, that he forgives sinners. And so there are many psalms that sing praise to God's name for his mercy. And among the psalms that we can think of there, think of Psalm 32. You know, that well-known psalm that starts by saying, "How blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven." And as the psalm elaborates on how God graciously forgives and how he renews the life of the sinner who has in all humility confessed his sins, then he concludes by saying, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." You see, when you have drunk from the well of salvation, when you experience that life-renewing forgiveness, well, there comes joy and praise to God who is merciful. Also hear it in the words of Psalm 65. He even mentions there, God is to be praised because he atones for the transgressions of his people. Remarkable. He atones. Whereas we should be doing it. We should make amends. We can't. He does it for us out of grace. And perhaps the most comprehensive hallowing of God's name for his mercy is Psalm 103. Psalm, also a big part of it, is always read in the doxology after the Lord's Supper celebration. Starts off with the call, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." You know, when you hear that word "bless," think of hallow the Lord, hallow his name. Now, David goes on to call for this blessing of God's name because he forgives all our iniquities. He heals all our diseases. He is slow to anger, and he removes our transgression as far as east from west extends. And as it began with the words, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," it concludes that way. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, for his mercy." One more reference, Psalm 145, the psalm that does multiple duties time and again. That's why we also read it. In this psalm, David says, "He will extol the name of God, his King, and bless his name forever." And one of the reasons for that in verse 8 is because the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And then finally, we turn our attention to the way our Father's name is to be hallowed for his truth. And in this case, truth has the sense of truthfulness, dependability. And really, it's often connected with God's covenant love, his covenant faithfulness. And we think of the whole history of Israel. The whole scriptures testifies to God's covenant faithfulness, his truthfulness in keeping his promises. We saw it this morning again with Jacob, working it through the scriptures. God is true to his word. He never goes back. And there are so many psalms that also praise God for that. We mentioned Psalm 78 earlier. Really, any kind of psalm that recounts the history of God's dealing with his people, that is a testimony to his truthfulness. For he keeps his promise even though his people turn against him time and again. Think also of Psalm 105. We sang the first few stanzas. Reminder of God's covenant with Abraham, the Lord being faithful to 1,000 generations. It goes on, if you keep looking in that psalm as well as Psalm 106, you have the recounting of the events of the Exodus. Any kind of psalm like that is a testimony to the fact that God is true to his words. And those psalms, they both conclude with the cry, "Praise the Lord." Now, the above, even though it was a whole assortment of psalms, in the end was only a sampling of how we can expand on that opening petition, "Hallowed be your name." And the beauty of working with the psalms is that we begin to see how this petition opens the door to confession, in which we spend time to sanctify, glorify, and praise God's name for all his works in which shine forth his almighty power, wisdom, goodness, righteousness, mercy, and truth. And seeing the confession potential in the first petition, we'll see how our prayer can be made much longer on praising our God, And not always being the presentation of a wish list to God, no, praising God for all that he has done. So keep in mind, our tendency is to right away jump to our request and not spend enough time acknowledging all that the Lord our God has done for us. And the benefit of seeing and approaching that first petition as a confession also is that it will make us think more deeply about the Lord God and all his works, both as creator and preserver of the universe, but also as redeemer and preserver of his children. For it forces us to think about who God is, what he has done, what he is doing. That's not easy, for so quickly we also shift to what we mentioned, the request, and maybe think, well, that's far more practical. I need to ask God about this or that. But in the end, brothers and sisters, there is nothing more direct and practical than thinking about God our Father, thinking about all his works, because that will draw our thoughts away from ourselves, will draw to him, and that will also give us confidence time and again, because the more our hearts become filled with thoughts of our great and gracious God, the more we are concerned about hallowing his name, that has a powerful effect of reshaping our lives to say we want to live a God-fearing life. We want to hallow him in our whole conduct as well. Think about the Lord your God when he is first and foremost on your mind. That will have its repercussions in what you do day by day. And we can see then that we have a busy week before us when it comes to our prayer. And indeed, take the time to prepare for that first petition by finding a psalm that will help you confess your Father's almighty power, wisdom, goodness, righteousness, mercy, and truth. And families might even be a good idea, especially if there are a number of children, assign it ahead of time. Say, tomorrow you have the responsibility. You find a psalm that deals with God's righteousness, for example, or whatever is the word of the day. But don't just leave it to the children, brothers and sisters. Take the time yourself. It's a good spiritual exercise for our personal prayer. And that way, we will enrich those simple words, hallowed be your name. For indeed, God's name is always worthy to be hallowed, to be sanctified, glorified, and praised every day. Amen.